Good to have you along with us today on your journey home. We're here live in the studios of Santa Fe Public Radio, streaming on the web also at ksfr.org and at 101.1 FM. Now, imagine you answered the call to serve your country after the 9/11 attacks. You end up in Iraq. Okay, it doesn't make sense, but you're not the commander-in-chief. So you do your duty, and along the way you're wounded twice. You return with two Purple Hearts and are disabled by your wounds, but the VA turns down your request for benefits, saying you can't prove that you were actually injured in action despite your medical records. Your seizures are because you drank too much Red Bull. Couldn't happen, but it did. Now Joshua Kors, investigative journalist for The Nation magazine, joins us with the story of one soldier, one lawsuit, and an extraordinary look behind the VA curtain. Josh, welcome. Good to have you with us today.
Good to be with you, Diego.
So what happened to Sergeant Jimenez? What did he do after he was turned down? It's hard to believe that he could even be turned down, given
yes.
the nature of his injuries and everything.
Jimenez, like thousands of these soldiers, came back and found himself without benefits. In his case, he had been struck in the face by shrapnel from a roadside bomb while serving in Baghdad. And as you mentioned, the traumatic brain injury that came with that resulted in seizures, acid reflux disease, memory loss, all kinds of problems. The VA put him on medication to battle his seizures, but when it came time to give him benefits, they said there wasn't sufficient evidence to prove he was having seizures.
But didn't he go to the VA hospital? Wasn't he admitted? And actually, while he was there under observation, didn't he have a seizure right then and there?
He did. He did. But, you know, there's a tangle with VA and their VA raiders, the personnel that decides whether or not soldiers will get disability pay. As has happened in many of the cases I've looked at, a lot of the raiders don't decide to take the medical opinions of the VA doctors. So the doctors can say you have one thing, but the VA raider can say, you know, we don't acknowledge that disability. We're not going to give you disability pay for it.
So what ended up happening
in his case
yeah.
is he joined with Veterans for Common Sense, a prominent veterans mm-hmm. group. They got together with thousands of soldiers in a similar situation and sued the government. That case went to federal court in San Francisco in April, and I was there for the trial.
I want to get to that, but before that, let's go back just a step to the raiders. Who are these raiders? Do they have any kind of official medical certifications to be able to analyze medical records and maybe revisit the diagnosis made by the doctors who actually examined the patients?
No, raiders do not have medical accreditation, and they're guaranteed anonymity, which means that the soldiers never know who's judging their cases. They never get to see them face to face. In Jimenez's case, this was a real haunting issue for him. He thought if the person deciding his case would just met him face to face, would get to see the scars on his face, he would have acknowledged that he was truly wounded while serving in Iraq. But since everything's done strictly by paper, Jimenez didn't get that chance to meet the man deciding his case, and the raider didn't get a chance to talk with him about having those seizures, about the breathing problems he's had. It's really been a problem across the board for so many of these veterans.
So the lawsuit went forward. You attended the trial. What was the first thing that really shocked you when you were sitting there in the courtroom?
Well, what made this trial so unique wasn't just that the government was being sued, but the top officials from the government finally had to come forward and speak under oath about why they were denying these wounded veterans care. And I have to tell you, Diego, some of the explanations they gave were truly extraordinary. I don't think most people know that veterans are barred from using a lawyer while processing their paperwork. You take brain-damaged veterans coming back with severe head wounds. They have to go through stacks and stacks of paper filled with legal jargon all by themselves because of an American law saying they cannot pay a lawyer to do that paperwork for them.
A Civil War
with Dr. James Terry, who's one of the top officials at the VA, and asked him about this. And he said, you know, I have a PhD, but only if I had a third grade education, I think I could fill out the forms. That was really the attitude they took while discussing their standards in San Francisco at the trial, and it was a true shock to the veterans gathered in the audience.
And obviously it was a true shock to you, too, because you write about that in your great piece here that's going to be appearing in the Nation magazine very shortly. What happened to Sergeant Jimenez? The business of having to prove that you were actually injured while in action, it has to be kind of bizarre for a veteran who comes back, especially with Purple Hearts that were awarded for his injuries.
It is. A lot of this you think would just be common sense, and it shocks the veterans coming back that they have to jump through these hoops. That's part of what this veterans group was asking for when they sued, to have a restructuring of the organization so the soldiers could come directly in and get their benefits. Right now, soldiers have to wait a significant period before they get benefits, and that was part of this fight. The VA was saying that soldiers have to wait about 6 months before they can get their disability benefits, which I'm sure to many in the audience seems like a tremendous amount of time for veterans that need immediate care. Well, this trial really revealed just how twisted those numbers are. It turns out that one of the ways to resolve a case in 6 months is for the soldier to commit suicide. If a soldier kills himself, that's considered a resolved case.
And that adds to their average or makes their averages look better.
That's right.
When it comes to resolving these cases. Now, to the point of suicides, let's just stop on that for just a second if I can, because this is a huge issue with returning veterans, and it seems as though the system that denies care and benefits is one of the leading causes of suicide.
It is, and that's been a significant issue. One of the big issues politically with the VA was whether they were going to acknowledge that. Dr. Ira Katz, the top psychologist at the VA, had been aggressive during his congressional testimony over the past year in denying that there was any problem with suicides and the VA. But as was revealed during this trial, he had written emails shortly after his testimony to other officials inside the VA describing a crisis in the VA. One email started with the words, "Shh, S-H-H, exclamation point.
Like, quiet down.
Yes, quiet down. Don't let anyone know that we're receiving 1,000 suicide attempts every month in our VA facilities. Diego, I'm sure you were aware of the CBS news report about this. This
on
was a breakthrough piece by reporter Armin Katayan regarding an epidemic of suicide. This email that started with shh was titled, "Not for the CBS News interview." This is something they didn't want CBS to know, and something they certainly didn't want the public to know either.
We're talking right now to Joshua Kors, investigative journalist with The Nation magazine. Joshua, as damning and damaging as this whole situation is, damaging to our veterans and damning of certain elements within our political structure, thank God we have a progressive liberal running on the Democratic side for the presidency, and on the Republican side we have a veteran there who, because he's served and been a POW, he must more than anybody else understand the true needs of our returning veterans, and he's been one of the top leaders calling for everybody to support our troops. Do you think that this is going to be resolved if, say, John McCain is elected president? Because of course, he is a veteran himself.
Well, it's hard to say. I think both Obama and McCain have done a tremendous amount to reach out about these issues. In fact, I had a good conversation with Tom Ridge, former head of Homeland Security, who many think could be McCain's VP choice. He's very concerned about these issues and told me that he'd be giving my articles by hand to McCain in the coming week.
Mm-hmm.
how that's going to change things, we just don't know at this point. I think the bigger problem is inside the VA, the officials that are there. Many of them are really turning their eyes from these issues. And in fact, the testimony at federal court really bore that out. We heard a lot of I don't knows, I can't say, I can't recall, in a true Alberto Gonzalez style. Uh-huh. One of the top officials, Michael Wolkoff, he was asked about a recent Rand Corporation study. Rand had done a study that was front page news for every paper across the country, finding that over 320,000 soldiers are returning from Iraq brain damaged and in need of immediate medical care. The veterans' lawyers asked him what he thought about this figure. He said, you know, he couldn't really comment on the situation because he didn't read the report and wasn't aware of it.
Oh, my God. I mean, this is ignorance by design. Josh, we're going to have to leave it there. Thank you so much for reporting on this issue. And when will your story be coming out in the nation?
It'll be coming out this next week. Anyone who wants more information can also go to my website, joshuacoors.com.
Joshua, thank you so much.
Thank you.